Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. And then give this to you as well when you're ready. All right. Whoops. I dropped my glasses. I'm almost there. Here we go. Let us pray. God with us, we gather this night with much undone, a flurry of things still to complete. Another year draws swiftly to its close, and the loose ends of our lives are fraying in so many places. As we sink into your word, your story, weave in the loose ends of our lives. Let us experience this unfinished strands as part of our magnificent tapestry, sparkling with your presence. Amen. Ken, I notice my glasses have affected my microphone. Am I sounding okay back there to you? Lovely, thank you. Tonight is Christmas Eve, and this is the last service in an Advent series celebrating the 200th anniversary of Silent Night, Holy Night, which happens to be my favorite Christmas carol, so I was really excited about this series. The overarching theme of the last 4 weeks has been finding our shared humanity. And we began the series by exploring the notion of truce as a spiritual practice. And in particular, we lifted up the very first week, the truce of World War I, the spontaneous truce that led soldiers in the trenches, the English soldiers and the German soldiers, to break out in Christmas carols. And because they could hear each other singing in the trenches, they gained courage to leave the trenches and meet in no man's land, where that first Christmas of the First World War, they exchanged gifts and they played football. And we reflected on how truce, the word truce, comes from an old English word that means faithfulness, truth, fidelity, and promise. And we've been exploring how creating openings for truce in our own lives helps us to connect with each other, connect with God, and find our shared humanity. And we've had some wonderfully rich conversations along these themes over the last weeks. Now, as Lutheran pastor David Loos shares, the story from Luke's gospel, which is so well known to us, it's the quintessential Christmas story. It's not only a long-ago story about angels and shepherds, a mother and a newborn. It is also a story about us, all of us gathered here amid the candles and the readings, the carols and the prayers. It is not just human flesh in general that God takes on in Christ. It is our flesh. And it is not simply history in general that God enters via Christ's birth. It is our history and our lives in this moment to which God commits. This story from Luke's gospel is a story of how God works through the everyday characters of a young mother and common shepherds. And if God can work in and through ordinary people of Scripture, the gospel then invites us to wonder how God can also work in and through us, especially on this holy night of Christmas Eve. So this evening, we will explore how God is doing that work in all of us, in our shared humanity. And we're going to do it by doing something that we haven't done together yet. We've had some wonderful conversations, but we're going to try something a little different this Christmas Eve. We're going to join together in a spiritual practice called Lectio Divina. How many of you are familiar with this? Yeah, it's an ancient tradition in Christian practice and in the Hebrew practice and Jewish practice as well. It has a different name. But it is being revitalized, and it is helping people become centered and to reflect. So I'll walk you through it this evening. And my inspiration for doing this, it actually comes from the movie. How many of you have seen Christopher Robin? a few of you. It's a darling movie, and I found it on Amazon Prime, which I shouldn't be, I'm not meaning to advertise, but I found it there. And my son and I watched it. And there's this wonderful line by Pooh Bear. You all know Pooh Bear, right? Pooh Bear and Winnie the Pooh. Okay. So Pooh says, "Doing nothing often leads to the very best of something." Yeah, it's awesome. So I'm hoping that by doing nothing for a little while this evening, it will help to lead us to the very best of something on this special evening. And one of the reasons we're doing this too is because in our story, Mary listened to the words of the shepherds and their sharing of their experiencing of the angels singing and what they said. And she took those words and she pondered them in her heart. So tonight we're going to tune in to what the angels are telling us so that we can ponder those words in our hearts and be guided to the treasures of our hearts. And so Lectio Divina actually has four movements to it. And so when a person sits down to do it in its fullness, we choose a text. So this is a word-based spiritual practice because we're dealing with the word becoming flesh and the word becoming flesh in us. And so the four movements of Lectio Divina, when you read the first time, you're just reading and you're listening. The second time you read it through, you're reflecting on where your spirit has caught on the words and where God might be nudging you with those catches. The third reading is responding, where we think of, now that we've gotten a sense of where we're being nudged, how we want to respond to that nudge. And then the fourth time a text is read in a Lectio Divina practice, it's resting. It's just receiving the gift of what we have received. It's a really beautiful spiritual practice. We're just going to do two tonight. And so I chose a very special Christmas blessing that was written by my favorite Irish theologian, John O'Donohue. I'm going to ask, do any of you know him? Sometimes. So Celtic spirituality is having a revival, and he's a Celtic spiritual person embedded in that tradition. And he writes amazing books and wrote a book of blessings, and this blessing comes from that. So what I'm going to invite you to do, I'm going to read it twice through, but the very first time we read it, we're going to just listen, enjoy, catch the overall meaning, and notice where your spirit catches. Just notice the words and phrases where you get caught. That's all you need to do. Just pay attention to those things, the overall meaning, and where you get grabbed a little bit. So here it is. May the angels in their beauty bless you. May they turn you toward your streams of blessing. May the angel of awakening stir your heart to come alive to the eternal within you, to all the invitations that quietly surround you. May the angel of healing turn your wounds into sources of refreshment. May the angel of imagination enable you to stand on the true thresholds, at the ease with your ambivalence, and drawn in new direction through the glow of your contradictions. May the angel of compassion open your eyes to the unseen suffering around you. May the angel of wildness disturb the places where your life is domesticated and safe, take you to the territories of true otherness, where all that is awkward in you can fall into its own rhythm. May the angel of Eros introduce you to the beauty of your senses, to celebrate your inheritance as a temple of the Holy Spirit. May the angel of justice disturb you to take the side of the poor and the wronged. May the angel of encouragement confirm you in worth and self-respect, that you may live with dignity that presides in your soul. May the angel of death arrive only when your life is complete and You have brought every gift to the threshold where its infinity can shine. May all the angels be your sheltering and joyful guardians. So there may have been a number of places there where your spirit got caught for a moment. I'm going to give you just a moment to capture those again. See where they reside in you. We're going to read this through one more time. And then I'm going to, as we read it this time, I'm going to ask you to pay attention to where you feel the divine in you, the divine around us is nudging, a little nudge. And then after we have done that, I will invite you to share a little bit of your experience. We have been cultivating a space where we have trust and are able to speak our truth in that space. So we'll have a time for that. So if you're ready for the second reading, take a deep breath in again. Let it out. Here we go. I'll read it through a little bit quicker this time. May the angels in their beauty bless you. May they turn toward you streams of blessing. May the angel of awakening stir your heart to come alive to the eternal within you, to all the invitations that quietly surround you. May the angel of healing turn your wounds into sources of refreshment. May the angel of imagination enable you to stand on true thresholds, at ease with your ambivalence and drawn in new directions through the glow of your contradictions. May the angel of compassion open your eyes to the unseen suffering around you. May the angel of wildness disturb the places where your life is domesticated and safe. Take you to the territories of true otherness, where all that is awkward in you can fall into its own rhythm. May the angel of Eros introduce you to the beauty of your senses, to celebrate your inheritance as a temple of the Holy Spirit. May the angel of justice disturb you to take the side of the poor and the wronged. May the angel of encouragement confirm you in worth and self-respect, that you may live with the dignity that presides in your soul. May the angel of death arrive only when your life is complete and you have brought every given gift to the threshold where its infinity can shine. May all the angels be your sheltering and joyful guardians. And after those two readings, are any of you comfortable sharing the words that you might be pondering in your heart? Just very briefly, touch lightly on it. Any words that you got caught upon that are with you this evening that you will take with you out into the night? No! I saw Becky Sand and I saw Terry Sand. Go ahead, Becky. At peace with ambivalence. That's definitely a practice. It's a hard thing sometimes. Yeah. Something to ponder. Yeah. Terry, I saw your hand. I think I saw your hand. Yeah. That wounds, that the healing of wounds doesn't end just with the healing, but becomes a source of inspiration and refreshment that can carry us forward. That is beautiful. Absolutely. Any other little places where you got caught? Kathy? Beautiful. There's a spectrum like the rainbow as a sign of peace too. I mean, there's scriptural basis to that one.
The rainbow is God's promise.
God's promise, and we hold God's promise in our hearts, especially this evening. Amen. The fulfillment of that promise. I saw Larry. Larry. The angels of the poem empower us to these different aspects. I love it. One of the reasons I chose the poem was because it echoes the scripture where the angels arrive and they appear and they sing God's glory. And in a way, the poem invites us to listen to how it's singing God's glory in our own lives. I love that. You saw the angels there, the voices, what they're saying. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, I'm going to shake your hand. May I shake your hand? Thank you, Henry.
I'm wanting to know about gifts.
You are. You're going to unwrap gifts tomorrow? The three gifts? Like the three kings?
Dinner. That's Christmas.
Gifts. Gifts, dinner, and people we love. That is the spirit of Christmas right there. The angels are helping us ponder in our hearts these three very important things. Well done, Henry. That's beautiful. Thank you. Any other little catchings before we go on for the evenings? I missed someone. Where am I? Oh, I see a couple over here. Yes. Yeah, you go ahead. Stepping out of what feels safe. Huge thing to ponder. Sometimes we have to ponder that for a long time. I have to ponder stepping out of safety a lot. Amen. I saw your hand too, and then I saw Betsy's hand.
What was your phrase? I was touched by the angel of awakening.
Angel of awakening.
The angel of imagination.
Imagination.
And compassion.
Awakening, imagination, and compassion. Three angels that will continue to speak, it sounds like, during the Christmas season. Beautiful. I saw Betsy. Yes.
I love the visualization of streams of blessings.
Streams of blessings. Streams of blessings, like streams of voices coming on Christmas Eve night that are all around us. And if we can take the moment, as Pooh says, to do nothing, we might find our way to something very special, especially on Christmas Eve. Did I miss anybody before I go on? I want to make sure everyone had a chance to share who wants to share. I think we're good. So one of the reasons why I wanted to revisit and open it up this evening was because last Sunday we had yesterday had a wonderful conversation together. And one of the things that was lifted up in yesterday's conversation was the apparent contradiction that God loves us as whole and complete exactly as we are, and we are called to love each other in the same way, but we are also invited and called to cultivate self-awareness around our growing edges and the growing places and the wounds that need healing and that hold us back from living abundantly and loving. So there's the both end. We're both whole and complete exactly as you are, as we are, and that's the way God sees us. But yet we have all these growing edges too. And it was wonderful because afterwards, Debbie, who I think can't be with us this evening, she came up and she said the wisest thing that I wanted to share. She said, you know, Naomi, the way I always thought about this, here's how I think about it. She said, God loves us just the way we are, and loves us too much to let us stay that way. Right? How good is that? I was like, yes, that was fantastic. And I feel like that is Christmas in a nutshell. The reassurance that Christ has come among us to truly compel us into believing that God loves us, the divine loves us, just exactly the way we are, and loves us way too much to leave us in that place. It's fantastic. And so the wonder of tonight and the Christmas gospel, it's not just sentiment. It's not nostalgia in and of itself, though those things are wonderful too. The stories we tell, the songs we sing, including Silent Night, Holy Night, they are a testimony, our testimony, our witness, our recognition that God loves us just the way we are, and encourages us into those spaces of transformation that the angels call out to us to continually and continuously listen for. at Christmas, time deepens. It reminds us of the glory and simplicity of wonder, and it lifts those things up in one day, in a concentrated day. It unveils the extraordinary that our hurried lives conceal and neglect. We are given such immense possibilities. As you go forward this night and into the coming new year, how will you create clearances among the clutter and entanglements of your lives to let your soul breathe? What treasures will you ponder in your heart in those spaces of nothing that will lead you into something truly spectacular? Amen.